Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk Cup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano.
And by
Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app on the Mighty Ear 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here with Rock Cod Rick Mexa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here, right overlooking the San Diego landings in Point Loma. And we have the man that is the guardian angel of all those landings, Ken Frankie from SAC. We used to call Bob Fletcher the guardian angel, and he still is.
No doubt.
And there's no question, because he still watches over things, but you're kind of the current guardian angel of all of us here. And talking some great stuff. What a great show.
This has been awesome, man. Yeah, having so much fun, really enjoying it. We got another full hour of it, too. So if you want to join us, man, please be a part of Let's Talk Hookup. We love having the phone calls. We love having the text. You can call us at 213-432-1090. That's the number here to Let's Talk Hookup. Again, 213-432-1090. Or send us a text. Again, texting is only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app if you don't have it already. Super easy to get on your Android or your Apple phone. Just search Let's Talk Hookup. You'll see the hookup icon. Download it. It's totally free. There's no BS. You don't get any spam. And you can listen to all the archive shows. If you missed a show from last weekend, you can fire it up and listen to it on your drive home from work. It's a great tool to have. And the only way to send your text questions in is through that Let's Talk Hookup app. Make sure that you include your contact info as well, because if you're the winner of the big prize at the end of the show today, we need to be able to get a hold of you. And what a prize we are giving away, as Pete mentioned before we went into the break there, a full-day trip on board the San Diego at a C4 Sport Fishing, as well as the new 2023 Bill Varney CCA calendar. That's going to one lucky caller or texter. Again, the winner will be decided with a coin flip at the end of the show today.
Let's find out what's biting.
It's time, man. Today, our FishDope.com report is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Get the best processing for your fish when your trip returns. Plus, with Fish Pros the Market, you can purchase fresh fish. They have smoked and jerky fish, spices, rubs, smoked cheese, tuna burgers, and that killer poke kit. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. Be sure to make your reservations by texting them at 619-255-3128. We talk about it a lot, but this is the time of year when a lot of people are planning their multi-day trips for next season. If you're going in the spring, you're going in the fall, you're going in the summer, whatever it is, the second you are done making your phone call to the office and booking your long-range trip, the next number you should punch in is 619-255-3128 and get your reservation down. I think that with as crazy good as the fishing was this year, with the long-range boats already, already or still having tremendous bluefin fishing a couple hundred miles down the way, the writing's on the wall. It is going to be another fantastic year. They're going to get busy again, yep. And those who had their reservations were those who got their opportunity.
Book your reservation at Fisherman's Processing.
No doubt, man.
Today.
Yeah, why not? For sure. Yeah. Well, hey, let's start off our catch report with our private boater buddy, the man, Captain Mark Wish of Pacific Edge, is on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Ricky. Welcome back, buddy. Pete, Ken, great show here.
Having fun.
Yeah, for sure. So this stream of storms has obviously been cramping our style a little bit in terms of getting out of the water to try and catch something. Very little opportunity here this week for sure. But a few hardy souls did make it over to Cat. Poking around front side east there, catching a few bonitas for lobster bait. No shortage of bonitas, man. They're hanging out there for sure. And the lobster's been crawling okay there, and they're definitely crawling pretty good in Long Beach Harbor. You know, this rain, I've been told that the salinity change chases them out of the shallow rocks and gets them heading toward deep waters. It's been really good fishing. But, guys, I got to tell you, the amount of flotsam and jetsam out there in the harbor, that's junk in the common terms. It's just stunning. Over the years, I've seen houses, tree trunks, dead cows, and everything else imaginable floating around after these kinds of storms. So, yeah, you want to be really, really careful. It's ugly. But the brightest spot locally here, surprisingly, the last couple of days of bass fishing sand bass fishing out there on some of the local wrecks, rocks, and hard bottom just inside the horseshoe there. It's been really good, man. They're biting. The big grumpy sand bass and the sculpins are biting like a squid head combo. Fished right down there in the bad neighborhoods. You got to get right down there close to the bottom. You want some details on it? I've got it all written up in my book, between 2 and 20 fathoms, how to do that stuff. And then roaming a little farther afield, like you were just talking, Ricky, about all that bluefin. So I've been watching these seiners working on the bluefin. They've been kind of fishing just above the Ranger Bank, which is just above Cedrus Island. And then literally overnight, they made like a 40 to 50 mile move straight up the beach. And this morning I looked at them. They're right outside Geronimo, which is like 175 below the border, wow. I believe. So, man, you guys want to get your trips booked?
Start winding that picture tight.
It's coming soon. Yeah,
I love it.
Awesome. So last Sunday, we all heard the famous Captain Dave Hansen commenting about the rain creating a massive amount of runoff and how critical that runoff is in transporting the nutrients down to feed all these wonderful little bait fish we got around here. And that's all a true story, for sure. So a couple days ago on Instagram, I saw these incredible images from Ocean Imaging, the satellite company that does the really trick stuff. And they had taken a bunch of pictures up and down our coast, satellite pictures, of where you could see all the runoff coming out of all the different rivers. And if you zoomed in, you could even see all the kelp ripped loose from, like, the Point Loma kelp beds and the individual kelp paddies going down the beach. You know, they made a little comment in there. That big swell was just devastating on the kelp there along Point Loma.
I can imagine.
Yeah, you want to see some graphics about what the runoff really looks like going into our water, find some of those images from Ocean Imaging. It was incredible. And we got more coming. We got another 3-4 days of rain coming here.
Big one coming.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Lots of course, pales in comparison to what they're getting hit in central and northern California. That's for sure. But we'll take it, right?
Oh, my God. Those poor guys.
Yeah, for sure. They're
getting wiped out. Well, that's this week's report. Not too much in terms of fishing. And, you know, after this next go-round, it looks like it's going to straighten out for a while. So we might get some much nicer weather. And, you know, on the wall of my office, I've got one of the first fish flags for white sea bass from the Bobo Angling Club. And I caught that sea bass on January 16th on the front side of Catalina, a little beach, a little spot of condition. So as soon as this, January 16th, which is basically now. So as soon as this weather straightens out, you guys, you know, searching out that first sea bass of the year, you know, there's going to be some good conditions. And not only backside, like, you know, we talk about so much, there's a lot of fish on the front, too. So, anyway, we'll be talking all that up here pretty soon.
Yeah, and fishdope.com, Danny and the boys will have all that information for you. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space. HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code. And Mark, how do we find you?
Well, P, we're in Huntington Beach. We're on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger by the Chevron station. And the phone number at the store is 714-840-4262. The website's PacificEdgeTackle.com. And Ken, if we can take another minute, I got a question for you.
Go for it.
About cow cods. So with the, you know, when the season opens back up and we have unrestricted depths, I mean, I can think of some really cool spots up above Santa Barbara Island on 140 fathoms that, you know, they just are begging to be checked. So, well, realistically, what's a cow cod situation? Are they contemplating, you know, letting there be some kind of incidental catch? You know, one of my friends, who is a astounding commercial fisherman, he told me when they did a lot of those surveys back in the late 90s for cow cod populations, it was in the biggest El Nino ever, and there was no cow cods around because they just went deeper. And I don't know if there's any truth to that, but, you know, that was 20-some years ago, and they've had a lot of time to recover. I imagine there's, like, tons of them around. What are we going to do with them things?
Well, you know, at least in the here and now, this is Ken's view and not that of the association. because there's complexities there. But in the here and now, it doesn't take a catch of many cow cod to result in a closure. So the best thing that we can do is continue to avoid them, and that's what we're recommending all of our captains. We want to avoid cow cod because there's an ACL involved, and you go across that allowable catch limit, and now you're facing some pretty strict guidelines and actions that would have to be taken. So our recommendation is, in the short term, continue to avoid the things. It's in our best interests, and we'll see how it all plays out. The state, I know, wants to do an experimental retention program. I don't know how that will work out in the end. But, for the short term, I think it's best that we just continue to avoid them.
Okay.
But they're so tasty.
Yeah. And they've come back. Yeah. They've made a major comeback, too.
Yeah, they have. And, it's a healthy environment and getting healthier all the time. We want to just see no more closures on the horizon and give everybody plenty of chance to fish. So it's coming.
I have a cow cod question for you. Continuing on that, why is it that we have to release cow cod when we fish them in Mexican waters, but a commercial fisherman can import them to the United States and legally sell them?
To the best of my knowledge, we're not allowed to bring any fish into the state that's prohibited in the state. I'm unaware of commercial fishing being permitted to import a cow cod into the state.
Okay.
It's kind of like if it's illegal to possess whatever it is in the state, I don't believe any regulation will permit you to import it into the state.
Same thing goes with black sea bass.
Yeah.
Black sea bass as well. Is black sea bass more of a state regulation or cow cod's federal, right?
Yeah, cow cod's a federally managed.
No, black sea bass is state.
Yeah, I believe so.
So maybe there's a distinction there because you can buy black sea bass on the market from imported from Mexico.
There is a species of black sea bass, and I'm crossing in an area I don't deal with very often.
I hear you.
But there is one species, as I recall, that is permitted to be possessed in the state.
Okay.
So, my buddy
Ken, I got one more cow cod question.
Go for it.
So,
I'll just do my best. I don't have all the answers, but I'll just do my best.
Most of them.
You do great. Oh,
yeah, just before the break, you had mentioned about tagging some fish and that a tag fish from the 43 was caught by the Coronado, something else by San Pedro. Have you guys put tags in cows to see where they go?
Yeah, the intent of that project was to tag cow cod. The cow cod stayed put.
Really?
Yeah, they hung out. They didn't travel. But the Boccaccio and Vermilion, they moved right out.
Interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, so there's some midnight current that they go covering some big distance, because that's deep water. So
yeah. They're
probably in some midwater current traveling. And yeah, Point Firmin, I mean, like 2 weeks after we tagged them, there were fish caught at Point Firmin, Boccaccio. And then several months later, the fish at the Coronado Islands were caught.
That's crazy.
Those were Vermilion that we tagged at the 43.
I got my cow cod question. It has nothing to do with this and Kenny Keefe. I just want to know if in your backlogs with driving that ROV around, you've got some footage of cow cods just stacked up in an area.
Anybody that wants to come by my office, I have amazing video. I'm serious. I'll show it to anybody. We have some astounding video of schools of cow cod underwater.
Wow. Schools of
schools.
Them.
Schools of cow cod.
All right.
That's what I'm talking about. That's my cow cod question.
All right.
Okay, Marcos has his cow cod question. So how do we find you, Mark?
That was fun, Mark.
Oh, yeah. We're in the Huntington Beach, corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger. Phone number 714-840-4262. I got about 20 more questions.
Well, come down and see the video. I think there's going to be a line out the SAC office.
Count me in.
For sure.
That was
an
honest invite. Anybody. I love showing it.
Thanks, Mark.
See you, Mark.
Appreciate that.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
Let's continue with our catch report over to C4 Sport Fishing. We've got Marcos on the line. Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning, everyone. How are you doing?
We're having fun this morning, talking fishing, giving away a trip on the San Diego today at the end of the show. We've been having a good time.
That's San Diego, bud. I've heard of them.
Quite popular.
Yeah, they do all right, from what I understand. Not running right now. They're doing some bow work because they had a long season last year. But, you know, the weather hasn't been our friend much this week. When we did get out, they are catching some fish there. The last weekend, we got that Sea Watch out fishing down Mexican waters, doing that rock fishing there. They had a good chunk of fish on that trip. I believe last time we talked to you guys, they were just getting out, and they came back with 114 rockfish. Then, like I said, a little bit of weather kind of prevented that trip. But, again, yesterday they went back down to the Mexican waters there, 101 rockfish, 8 whitefish. When they're fishing locally, pretty good fishing there, picking away at some calico bass, had a halibut earlier in the week. A couple days ago, they had 31 sand bass, 12 sculpin, and a halibut again. So overall, good fishing, about what you expect for January. Like I said, unfortunately, this weather is not cooperating, but they're going to get out as much as they can. Definitely check the website. We've got those trips running, the extended half days in the Mexican waters. We've got the half days fishing locally. And those are a little bit later departure. We've had a couple people show up for those 6 o'clock trips, but those local half days are leaving at 9 right now, so definitely keep an eye on that. New C4 should be back online, so we'll have more trips running coming up here the next week or two. They're doing some bow work also, another long season there. So definitely check the website, c4thlanding.com. Got those half days up there. We got some day and a half scheduled on the weekends, as long as that weather cooperates. We got some trips scheduled out into April, May for some of those longer trips also, so lots of options. Give us a call at the office if you have any questions. 619-224-3383. More than happy to help you guys out and get you out there fishing.
Awesome. Great job. Excellent report, as always, Marcos. Appreciate that very much. Glad to hear the boats are getting the maintenance done so we can have another nice long season here coming up. Appreciate everything from C4th, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
I'll talk to you then, guys.
Thanks, Marcos.
That wraps up our catch report.
It sure does, man. Low, low, low gas prices for your car, truck, or your trailer boat. It's only at Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. Get California fishing licenses 24 hours a day, beer, soda, snacks, and 100 pounds of free ice with a minimum of a 35-gallon
purchase. Did you say 100 pounds of free ice?
Every week we talk about it, and every week it blows me away. I mean, yeah. I just don't know why you wouldn't choose Summit just for that, yeah. Let alone the fact that you're spending oftentimes a dollar. I check it every time. I check it this morning. They're $1.09 per gallon lesser expensive than the corner store by my house.
Holy mackerel. $1.09 per gallon.
You know, you talk about filling your skiff. You're saving $100. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's huge.
And the other thing I might tell you is you don't need 100 pounds. You're just doing a fill-up on your car. Go in and see Martha or one of the gang telling me, listen, let's talk a couple. I'm going to bet you they'll give you what you want.
I have no doubt about it. The staff is awesome.
You need to see them back.
Yeah, they're really cool people. Yeah. I really like them. And it's like you say, we say it all the time every week. It's more than just low gas prices and free ice. It's a really friendly group of people. It's also the other thing that's real nice if you're a private boater, finding a fuel station that you can easily get in and get back out of. It's a straight pull through. There's lights at both sides. Like it's just easy to maneuver around with your boat. There's a very tall ceiling if you got a boat with a folding tower. Like everything about Summit is great for a private boater. Check them out. Again, it's at the San Diego Sports Arena. You cannot miss Summit, an awesome, awesome partner.
All right, let's jump into those phones. They're packed up and one line open only if you want to get through. 213-432-1090.
Dawn in Woodland Hills is up next with us. Dawn, thanks for hanging in there with us. Very patient. Appreciate it, Dawn.
Hey, guys. Great show this morning. I just absolutely love listening to Ken talk about the boat side of the business for our sport. And it brings a thought for the upcoming shows. I think from my perspective anyway, it would be great to have a seminar with maybe Pete, you moderate it. With Ken and Wayne Cotto from CCA talking about the status of our sport. You can get information from SAC side, from CCA side, and with all the regulations it's changed and how complicated they are and what we're facing with 30-30, I think it'd give us a really good insight as to what we are facing as anglers.
Great idea.
It is a really good idea.
Those two could compare notes to see who's got more of a pain in the butt list than the other.
Yeah. You just mentioned something important, that 30 by 30, as that evolves with the state, that's going to be a big deal. Wayne and I are both already talking quite a bit about it.
It's
a big deal. So, I think that's a great idea.
Because 30-30 affects both recreational anglers, whether they fish on private boats or sport boats, right?
Yeah. Everybody.
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 And what it is, it's just more closures.
Well, and it's just, it's, you know, the state of California has a tendency to really severely restrict and go down the left or side of the road as compared to the middle of the road. So, you know, we need to have everybody weigh in on accessibility, because the important thing is not everybody has a boat. You know, not everybody has access. We want to make sure that the public has access to the beaches and to fishing and to take their kids out and stuff. If it makes it too prohibitive and too far away or what have you, that's actually a detriment, not a benefit. So
no doubt.
We all want to protect everything, but we don't want to eliminate access to it.
Yes.
Totally. So. Well said.
Hey, a great text came through. This one's kudos to Ken today. I work in the industry of helping trucking companies comply with CARB. CARB turned trucking companies against each other, and Franker City, along with SAC, managed to unite all sport boat owners and enlist the public to pressure CARB to relax regulations to common sense, which is unheard of in government agencies. Ken, please do not retire. And that was from Doug, San Diego.
That's so true, too. And I have another text here. It's interesting, and on a different note here, and it's from John in Oceanside. He says, I normally fish on a private boat free ride out of Dana Point. I'm curious, with the new regulations, do you know if the 14-mile bank is open for rock fishing and when the season opens back up? We talked a little bit about that. Kind of explain the 14-mile bank, which is accessible so easily out of Dana Point. We have a lot of listeners out of Oceanside and Dana Point that fish it.
Yeah, we're going to nail that down, because that question keeps popping up. To my knowledge, when the season opens, I believe the 14 will be open, but
because it's not Calcod Conservation.
It's not Calcod Conservation area, and if all depth is all depth, then that would lead me
How
to believe it would be open.
How deep is the 14?
Oh, gosh, what, 120 fathoms on the shallow end? I ROV'd the whole thing.
Did you?
Yeah, it's got Calcod.
I was just going to say,
Don't tell the state that.
But anyway,
loaded. What do you got here, man? What's going on?
That question has come up in many forums in the last few days. I just want to verify it with the Department of Fish and Wildlife.
But what you said earlier, all depths, as long as it's not in the Calcod Conservation Zone, which would be the 43-mile bank,
or 43-fathom spot. So that's prohibited, right?
Yeah, that's prohibited. That's Calcod Conservation.
Good.
And then is it the Osborne? I'm not familiar.
Yeah, there's, you got that whole area there. Osborne, part of Tanner, Cortez.
So there's parts of Tanner that are Calcod Conservation.
The whole region, there's 1,600 square miles, I think. It's a big, huge square block.
Yeah.
Everything in it is in the CCA.
Oh, it is.
Unless it's authorized, and there's a chart of this that, you know, certain depths are open in certain areas.
Yeah, so like there's certain areas that are maybe within the Calcod Conservation Area that are so shallow that you won't find Calcod in there.
Right.
So there's some areas that can be fished because they don't need to worry about it, because it's above the depth where you're going to find Calcod.
And on both the Tanner and the Cortez.
Yep. So the Fish and Wildlife website is a great resource, but so the 9-mile bank, 60-mile bank, 14-mile bank, all depth, to me, would think that would be open. We are going to verify that, though, because I've had this question come up so much about the 14.
But back to the Tanner, a lot of guys go out there and fish bluefin.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go on and go, hey, let's go rock fishing, you have to be aware of where the depths, right? Because if you're fishing in an area where there's Calcod, you can't be there.
That's pretty much it. I mean, the only area to anchor up and fish rockfish out there is in shallow water, well shallower than you'll encounter a Calcod.
Gotcha.
Hey, another great text came through. This is, good morning, gentlemen. This is Bill from Mission Viejo. Does SAC offer any internship opportunities for research in marine biology, fishery types, for the upcoming students interested in the field? If not, do you have any recommendations? That's from Bill in Mission Viejo. And I don't know if SAC does, but I do. Again, I know you work so closely with so many of those research facilities. That would be a good question.
Yeah, excellent question. And SAC, it just depends on what the initiative we're working on is. Like, for instance, I have crew members sampling aboard the boats and such. We do have projects that we're currently engaged in that I would refer you. You can get in touch with my office, but we would refer you to the regulatory science team that we're working with, who do use interns for sampling projects. Like this wintertime project we're going to be working on, sampling copper and Quillvac, we are going to be taking university interns out as part of the program. And, yeah, so there are opportunities for students, et cetera, to join us.
That's awesome.
Great. Well, let's jump into the phone.
That sounds good to me. How about this time we talk to John? John's calling us from Long Beach this morning. Good morning, John. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, I got a question about are they going to allow more hooks than they're allowing now when they open it up deeper?
No, sir.
Yeah, no gear change.
Okay. No gear change. This is a depth only, and so the tackle is all identical. It's all staying the same.
All right, that's good. And what is that?
Two hooks.
Two hooks.
There you go.
Yeah, two hooks. Mexican water, same.
Mexico, you're allowed more.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, what is it?
Three or four.
Three or four.
Yeah. So it's on. Yeah, it's just four. Yeah. Go to the Conapesca website for that, but I think it's four.
Yeah.
But you're allowed a Ganyan-style thing.
I'm 90% sure it's four, but just like Ken was saying, too, like things change so often. I hesitate so much to like put the stamp on it and say for sure it's this because they do change, but I'm quite confident it's four. But we'll see if maybe I can look it up, you know, during one of the breaks or something and get confirmation. But I believe it's two in U.S., four in Mexico.
And also I might add, too, for those fishing on private boats, in California waters, you are allowed to use electric reels. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. But not in Mexico.
But not in Mexico.
Correct.
Right. Yeah.
Unless you have special permission and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like it's doable.
Unless you know Ken.
Yeah. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. We got more of your phone calls. We're going to see if we can keep grilling Ken. Like, we haven't stumped him yet, but I'm sure Pete's got one in his back pocket. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year, and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglersSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
All right, it's time to talk about the freshest thing in town, and that's Point Loma Seafood, the place where it is always biting. And Ken, I know you're the same with us. Your office is right next door to Fisherman's Landing Tackle. It's a once a week stop at minimum.
I have maybe been there 200-400 times.
Yeah. No doubt about it. There's nothing like Point Loma Seafood, from the obvious killer cooked food to their display case with amazing options, their cook case, the smoked fish, the sushi. There's nothing like having Point Loma Seafoods. And it's such a ritual at the Point Loma fishing landings, coming down from your trip, especially if you're from out of town, going down, getting your squid sandwich, having a cold one, sitting up top, which overlooks the entire San Diego fleet. It's a very special place, and we love having Point Loma Seafoods so close to us at the landing.
Fish plate and coleslaw, that's my favorite.
I'm a fish taco guy. I really like the shrimp tacos right now, but for me, the lately one has been the combo platter.
When I was a police officer, two times a week I'd be eating it.
Yeah, I love it, man. Nothing like it. It's Point Loma Seafoods next to the Point Loma next to the Point Loma Landing in San Diego, the freshest thing in town.
Are you passionate about fishing and the great outdoors, but not quite sure where to go? Look no further than Queen Charlotte Safaris in pristine British Columbia, Canada. Hello, this is Valerie Hopewich. There's so many reasons to join us on your next fishing adventure. A few of the highlights are fishing in protected, calm waters. Very important. Quality Chinook salmon run all season long. After you've caught your salmon, we're going to go out for the great Pacific halibut, lean cod, rockfish, and Dungeness crab. Our beautiful lodge overlooks Shingle Bay Sandspit, and it's so easy to get to. Fly from almost any airport into Vancouver and then on to Sandspit. Fish processing, your fishing license, your gear, all included. Just bring that fishing arm and that smile. Let our chef pamper you with amazing meals while our staff gives you wonderful hospitality, all included in your Queen Charlotte Safaris package. Give me a call on our toll-free number, 1-877-815-2892, or go to our website, qcsafaris.com.
Safe travel should always include travel insurance. This is Bob Dawson at Dawson & Associates. We offer many different plans, from one-year plans to single-trip plans. Traveling twice or more a year, an annual plan will cover most every trip that you make. Also, if you get injured on a trip, it'll fly you back home or fly you to a hospital of your choice, and it's worldwide coverage once you're 100 miles from home. So call me at 619-990-3068 or go to safariglobaltravel.com.
Hi, I'm Pat McDonald here to tell you that the Hall Shows are back. Bart Hall Show is February 16th through the 19th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds and March 29th through April 2nd at the Long Beach Convention Center. Share the passion of outdoor recreation as we celebrate 75 years of Hall Shows family fun.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning, taking your phone calls, reading your text. If you want to get through, we do still have time for you. 213-432-1090. That's the number to call through right now. Lots of great tech stacked up as well. And giving away that great prize, a trip on board the San Diego and the 2023 CCA calendar. Yeah.
Some guy named Bill in Breckenridge.
I was going to read that same one. I like that one. I thought that was great.
I think it's
great
Bill
question.
Barney. Yeah, there's not a lot of guys named Bill in Breckenridge that listen to Let's Talk Hookup. So I'll bet it's Bill Barney.
I'll bet you're right.
The world famous calendar guy and the guy that does our Let's Talk Hookup email blast every week. He wants to know if you're going to employ the SAC spotter plane this year.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Even though Tom Green retired?
Is Tom still around?
Tom's still around. You can drag him out of retirement.
Retired.
Drag him off the golf course.
Tom's involved.
Okay. Retired right. doesn't mean went away forever.
Because that is so cool.
It's so much fun.
It's very beneficial for the fleet. I mean, it's just getting that early warning system, having the boats be able to know where they're headed. You know, and I was talking to the pilot the other day. It also is really beneficial to know where there is no life in the ocean.
Yes.
Because that saves so much time and fuel, and, you know, we want to make sure that the people, when they leave the dock, you know, going to have the best opportunity possible. Can't always make fish bite and find them, but it is nice to have a real good snapshot of what are the oceanographic conditions, where are the kelps, where's the porpoise, where's the whales, you know, where's the sardine or anchovy or what have you. In addition, of course, to where there's fish. But, I think we're 9 years using it now? Yeah. And it's great.
I can tell you what you just said is exactly true, because thanks to you and Tom Green, I was able to go flying with him for 6 hours a couple seasons ago.
Yeah.
And we get into an area where there was just bluefin everywhere. And then we would go into a different area, and there was nothing, no life, nothing on the kelps, nothing. It's just, you've got to be where the fish are, right?
Yeah, so like when I was running my boat, I mean, when you're trolling at 7 knots, you want to keep fishing the whole time.
Right.
Keep the people interested. But, you know, when you're searching 40 square miles of empty ocean, boy, that, you know, the people...
They're looking back at you.
We call that getting the perch eye.
Yeah, the perch eye.
And, we want to do these captains. They just bust their rear ends to try to get the fish into the get into fish as quickly as they can.
I can tell you without question, some of the most excited, fired up, frothy, whatever you want to call it, I've ever been doing Let's Talk Hookup, or some of those early season phone calls that we would get from Tom. You know, when you're really ready for the season to happen and you've been going through a couple of storms and it's kind of rainy, and then all of a sudden you can hear the electric in Tom's voice. Like, however, you know, many decades he's been flying and looking at fish, you can tell the passion has not left that man.
Yeah.
Like, when he would call in those early seasons and be like, man, we're done with our commercial season. There's so much fish. It's here. I saw 20 square miles, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, it's the most fired up I'd ever get doing the show. I love hearing Tom's reports.
So, Tom, get off the golf course and get back on that plane. We need you.
No doubt. Hey, another fun text came through. This one was from Eric. Eric Sheets from Cal's Two Speeds. Says, I first met Ken when he owned the Outer Limits, and he ran great trips that were super informative. I've continued to fish on the boat with Paul. I love it so much. Ken, keep up the great work, and thanks for everybody on our behalf.
Very kind. Paul does an amazing job.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, for sure. Let's jump into the phones.
Chris in Hawaii is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Chris, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, fisherman, man. It's been a while since I've called in for you guys.
Well, good to hear from you, Chris.
Nice to hear from you. All the way from Hawaii. It's a little early over there.
Yeah, I just woke up, man. I had major spine surgery a year ago. It gets me up early. Like listening to your guys' show. The fishing here just sucks, man. I don't know. It's just horrible. Ahi was horrible this year. Mahi-mahi are barely showing up. There's no bait out here, but I got a question for Rick. Hey,
Rick,
buddy. I called a while ago. We'd go out to the buoys. I was telling you I use that Travella rod, you know, and we get the mahi-mahi to come up. But occasionally that 150-pound ahi comes up and hits you, and I lose my pole, not enough pole with the Travella. So you said to move up to the grappler. I went, and they had a Therese rod. It looks really heavy. It's got 65 to 200 pound braid rating, extra hard. How do you compare the grappler and the Therese?
Just different. Very good. I mean, a Therese rod that had a rating that heavy would probably be fine for the big fish fishing that you're talking about. The grappler is just different. Lighter weight, construction. It's, is this going to be on a conventional reel or spinning tackle?
No, I'm putting it on a Spiros 20,000 with 400 yards of...
That's what I thought I remembered. So what I like about grappler is that it's got, very lightweight, very good casting for popper, stick bait, that kind of stuff, but has very good lifting power in a heavy-duty spinning rod without spending crazy money. The Therese, very nice, too. Pete Grossbeck is the, a guy that I hold in such high regard. Those guys do so much big fishing. That was their favorite big bluefin spinning rod, the Therese, the 78 heavy and extra heavy. So lots of big fish. I think that you would be perfectly fine with that. The Therese rod that I'm the most familiar with is no longer being made in the spinning configuration, so that might be a rod that is not longer made but still available, still hasn't been sold, so it would be good. Going forward, I think grappler is going to be a little bit lesser money and probably a little easier to deal with just in case you did have any type of warranty issue going forward, something like that. But again, a Therese with that line rating, no problem, man. I would go for it. And I know Pete and those guys have had big cows on spinning tackle with that rod, no problem.
And watch for something big coming from the guys at Shimano this year in the rod world. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, that would be a good way to say it.
Yeah, for sure.
In the family. Yeah. How about that?
Exactly.
All right.
It's the Shimano family.
There you go.
Yeah, it's coming. It's very soon.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for the call from Hawaii. Appreciate that. That does free up a line at 213-432-1090. Interesting text here from Dale in Santa Clarita. He says, I exclusively fish the Channel Islands. I do understand that commercial fishermen have to make a living, but they set their nets between the islands and the shore and just hammer the white sea bass. Just wondering if there's any upcoming law that they can't fish between the islands.
I got to be honest with you, I do not know the particulars of the regulations for the gill nets up there.
Yeah.
Honestly.
They have to stay off 3 miles, however.
They have regulations that they have to abide by.
Yeah.
And, that's a very carefully monitored, quadrant of the fisheries. And I'm sure if something's out of the ordinary, people up there will point it out to Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. Yeah. But one on that side too, one huge win too is that the elimination of the long lines here coastally, right?
Yeah, the bottom line is having accessibility and having healthy stocks. We want to make sure that that there's plenty for everybody.
Yeah.
So
another great text and a good question, because if you don't know, you don't know. This is from Donovan and Marietta. My question is, what is considered a cowcod? Is that just an extra large rockfish? also, what are the rockcod limits going forward?
Yeah. The cowcod, it's its own unique species. We used to, most of the time, it was 85 to 130 fathoms is where we would see them. So.
And they're pretty distinctive looking.
Yeah.
They're big rockfish.
They're very unique. Very unique.
And if you look at pictures, the best thing to do is just go...
go Google it.
Yeah, Google it. And Department of Fish and Wildlife has a great card that you can get identifying the different types of rockfish. So you can... It's a rockfish identification card.
Yep. And one thing I'd recommend is with the new season, bag limits... Different makeup for different species, et cetera. I don't want to get quagmired into this right now to do it, but just go straight to the DFW website, and all the bag limits and the makeups of the different combinations, et cetera, are all right there for you. That's probably the best way to handle that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
All right. We haven't talked anything about Mexico, because you guys deal a lot in Mexico relations, and are and although this year for the local fleet that hasn't been much of a factor fishing Mexico, but it is a big factor, especially for the long-range fleet, and generally speaking for the local fleet too, especially here out of San Diego. How are our relations with Mexico?
Conapesca we get along great with. I fly to Mazatlan. I usually will have some of our board members go with me. I had Tim Ekstrom and Frank Ersetti. Tim from the Royal Star and Frank, owner H&M, with us on our last trip down there. They're going to be actually up here, Conapesca, in about a month, and we're going to be meeting with them again. But communication is really good. Relations are good. The one thing I haven't heard about all day was Guadalupe so far, so I'm just going to say it. There was a release of information from the Mexican government about it being closed and their management plan, and all I can say is we're looking into it, and we're going to make some recommendations to the government, and we'll just see where that takes us, because SAC, we try to very objectively help everybody. And I always tell the Mexican officials, if whatever we recommend isn't right for Mexico, end the conversation. But so far, we've been doing a good job, I think, of pointing out what are in Mexico's best interests for their fishing public. And their fishing public could include people from Europe, people from the United States, people from Mexico. So when we have those conversations, it's not about, hey, here's what I want. It's what's best for Mexico, what's best for the resource, and here's what we have learned from our experience.
The negative impact for our fleet being basically banned from either shark diving or fishing from Guadalupe is pretty far-reaching, isn't it?
It is. And the thing is I wouldn't even categorize it as our fleet. Canadian boats, Mexican boats, U.S. boats, everybody is included in this. And we've just learned from experience, in the absence of the presence of anybody, because,
yeah,
again, it's 170 miles away, in the absence of the presence of anybody, bad things can happen.
That's when the bad stuff happens.
That's when you have no control, you have no idea. But then the other thing is this, just to my point of thinking, the revenue stream presented by the long-range boats, the shark boats or what have you, the people that go, the yachts that go to the island, that revenue stream that goes to Conapesca and a CONAMP and the other government agencies, there is the revenue for monitoring, for studying, et cetera. And when the boats go out there, they're fishing for highly migratory species. Those are managed by the Intertropical Tuna Commission. That to have that be myopically protected, it is the Guadalupe, doesn't really make sense.
That's the thing. Like, they're not closing it down to protect the tuna that are monitored by somebody else, and the boats that are there are not there for anything other than those tuna fish. Like,
and there's no discharge there. There's some things that I think those that are uninformed need to be informed about, but this has a very serious adverse effect. Every time they close an entire area, that's actually a bad thing in the big picture.
For sure.
Those are the revenue streams, you know, those are the revenue streams that the government agency needs to monitor, protect, et cetera, study. The permits that all the boats get to go there permits a person from CONAMP to be aboard the boat to monitor and study.
So it's taking away jobs for Mexicans?
Oh, yeah.
And in a big way, it's taking away revenue for the people of Mexico.
In terms of millions of dollars.
And millions and millions of dollars. And the other thing, too, is the most important thing, I think, is a watchful eye out there to make sure that there's not things that shouldn't be. Like, who's to say that, who's going to stop, like, some big commercial fleet from some other country to go in there and just wipe everything out?
And that's exactly it. I mean, there's 30 families that are the local fishermen that live on the island. There's really no presence of anybody else there.
Because it's so
remote. It makes a lot more sense to permit boats to go there, to get permits, to engage the government and properly manage the area. I would use as an analogy the Channel Islands. It's worked out. We have access to the area. Certain areas are protected and closed. The same methodology could be applied there and be a benefit to everybody involved, including the scientific community.
Right. Well said.
So basically what you're saying is the fat lady is singing, but she's not done singing yet.
Correct.
Okay.
I mean, you know, somebody came in the tackle store yesterday talking about, that's it, it's over, it's closed forever. Guadalupe was closed for a long period of time before, and through diligence of the fleet and very good close working relations, opened back up again for a very successful thing.
Absolutely.
Nothing's over. I mean, this exact same scenario has happened before. Yeah. Is it a bummer? Totally it is. I mean, do we like going there? Absolutely we do. But Ken and his team, you know, and you have said this, that, you know, your relations with Mexico are better than they've probably ever been before.
That's a fact.
You know better people than you have before. Yeah. You've worked alongside them, helped them through a lot of things. I mean, if there was an opportunity to get back through, we're in the best state, you know. Do we wish it was open? Damn right we do. But, you know what, we're not in the worst place we could be either.
The thing is a lot of it's about relationships, and our office's job is just to help everybody. That's it. It's really simple. There's nothing negative about it at all. Our number one thing is to protect resources, followed by accessibility wherever it is to the public. And at this point in time, we've spent so much time promoting Mexico and helping them with their issues and doing your show, your radio show.
We did that many shows.
Far-reaching impact down
there. Oh, big
time.
And, I mean, what we did for Loretto, with those live broadcasts down there, it just basically
put them on the map.
It put them on the map.
Well, how?
And people are going to Loretto now again. Every time I go down there, people are so gracious. So thank you for being here.
Your radio show was specifically attributed as being the reason the cruise ship
returned. That was the big one that I was going to say. Yeah, Mazatlan was the. It's got to be the biggest one.
I'll never forget. A year and a half later, I went back down there. I met with the Secretary of Tourism, and he showed me on his wall 103 cruise ship reservations that he attributed to your show.
Wow, and your efforts. It was you that started it all. So Ricky and I can't take all that credit.
It's just that as we go along, I think we just need to work together to share ideas and not be it, hey, here's what we think you should do. They always say, do things with people, not to people.
Yeah, for sure. So stay tuned.
So we're going to work on it. It's a management plan there, and we're going to try and see if we can help them make it better.
Get us back in, Ken. I want to catch another yellowfin there, buddy.
Yeah, I like that place a lot.
I like big yellows, and I like calm lees of the island.
Yeah,
we'll just do our best to help.
Yeah, we do, no doubt about it.
And sometimes the answer is no, but we've been pretty successful at providing people ideas.
Especially when logic prevails.
Yeah,
and this is a logical conclusion that you should come up with, that we should have access to Guadalupe. Let's jump back in the phone.
Sounds good to me. We're going to talk to Brian now. He's called us from Southgate. What's up, Brian? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hope you guys are having a good morning. I'm enjoying the show. Ken, any chance you're going to be at the Hall Show this year to show that video?
No, I don't think that will happen. But I usually go to the show.
I'd love to see that.
I know.
Yeah, it would be. Maybe you have to talk you into putting it up on the SAC website.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm with you, Brian. I want to see it, buddy.
Ken's got a whole bunch of videos that Ricky and I want to see.
See, I, just so everybody understands, I don't want to be cagey about it. Because it's a scientific project under the direction of a scientist, it's their data that is being processed for papers, et cetera. So Ken's not allowed to go on a street corner and start showing their stuff.
Yeah, this person put out the work, paid the money for it, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. So I do have a copy of what we videoed, and I just show it to folks, and that's been fine.
All right. Very good. Thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate that. Hey, Arnie in Vista has a good comment here. He says, hi, Pete, Ricky, and Ken. First, thank you, Ken, for the leadership of SAC and what you do to keep our fleet on the water. Many of us anglers are members of CCA, and all should be members. What can anglers do to help support SAC? What else can anglers do to keep us fishing?
That is a great question, and the number one thing you can do is support CCA, because Wayne and his team are working with us. Again, they cover the recreational anglers. But then the other thing is please patronize the SAC boats. That is where the revenue comes that got us literally to go back into operation from COVID, dealt with the CARB issues. That's where the revenue comes from, a few cents off of each fishing ticket. So
make sure that the boats you're fishing on are SAC members.
Yeah.
That's important because not all of them are, right?
There's just one or two that I'm aware of in Southern California that aren't. Pretty much everybody is.
Pretty much everybody is.
And one other thing is SAC is run by the boat owners. It's not a government agency or anything like that. It's
you have a board of directors.
Board of directors. They're all boat owners and landing owners. And so their only interest is to make sure you have a great experience on their company's boats to come back again.
All right. Rick?
Quick text for you, Ken. Kind of along those similar lines. Ken, does SAC also represent the six-pack fleet? And if not, how could those boats join in? That's from Blair in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, great question. Operate from a SAC landing. I mean, that's pretty much it. If you operate from a SAC landing, boats in SAC landing are allowed to be in SAC.
Now, he in Santa Cruz would be under the Golden Gate Fishermen Association, right?
That would be correct.
Yeah, and they need to be a part of that too, right?
That would be, and they do. They accept six-pack boats just like we do.
That's awesome. Thanks, Blair. Appreciate the text very much. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's going fishing on the San Diego. You stay tuned. More Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090, ESPN Radio, and the Let's Talk Hookup app.
Your vacation bucket list can't be completed without visiting the Katmai Lodge, Alaska this summer. A world-class wilderness fishing paradise on the banks of the famed Alaknak River. Get in the action fishing for all five species of Pacific salmon. King, sockeye, chum, coho, plus trophy-sized rainbow trout, Arctic grayling, and Dolly Varden, both in the Alaknak and nearby waters. Katmai Lodge's Coast Guard and CPR-certified guides are fly fishing fanatics and know how to help you reel them in, ensuring your days are fish-filled while you enjoy freshly prepared snacks and barbecued lunches on the river. Back at the lodge, enjoy fireside appetizers and refreshments each afternoon. Delicious dinner prepared by the lodge's exceptional chef. Take a quick fly-out trip to Brooks Falls and Katmai National Park for world-renowned bear watching, and check out our trout fishing specials at katmai.com. That's katmai.com. katmai.com.
It's not just hooks that make anglers wild about Gamakatsu. The finest split and solid rings are also made by Gamakatsu. If you're looking for quality swivels, yep, Gamakatsu makes the best. And when it comes to assist hooks, Gamakatsu has you covered there too, with wide assortment of sizes and types. Those Gamakatsu fishing pliers and boxes are also a huge hit with anglers. The best hooks, swivels, split rings, and more are made by Gamakatsu. Get them at your local shop or Gamakatsu.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. All right, Ken is going to do us the honors of the coin flip between the callers and the texters. Today we have a texter, so congratulations, Bill in Mission Viejo. You are the big winner. You are going to go fishing on board the San Diego out of C4 Sport Fishing. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. Ken, what a great show, man. There was
I appreciate you letting
me
come.
Really got, I think we covered almost everything, except watching those videos.
Yeah.
And if somebody wants to help SAC, like Arnie said, how do we help SAC?
Go to our website, californiasportfishing.org. Ask any questions you have. And just please patronize the SAC landings and the SAC boats.
The other thing I tell people all the time, people call me, I'm trying to get a fishing license, I'm trying to get an FMM. The best